Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Koman, Head of Emerging Markets Research EMEA. It's Friday, 30th July 2021, and this week we're talking about growth prospects across the emerging markets complex. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, normally the summer months are a period of quiet across financial markets, with investors taking their vacation, but you have been telling me that it may not be a summer lull. Can you elaborate for our listeners on why it may be a choppy summer?
Thanks, Anna. So yes, normally the summer period is a time for investors to take pause, but there is reason to believe that this summer may be a bit different in that a confluence of factors is keeping markets rather preoccupied. So big picture, the intense growth concerns priced in global markets over the last couple of months have spanned a number of issues. So first, we have the Delta COVID-19 variant most recently. Second, a sequential slowdown in China before that. And third, the broader notion that we may be past the point of peak acceleration in the global economy. And with this, the emerging markets outlook appears to be turning slightly less favorable. Granted, the Delta COVID-19 variant is likely to delay rather than derail the ongoing global recovery in our view. However, markets may need to be more assured on the EM story as the previously projected lifting of global mobility curves have been too optimistic. And just to build on this, yes, the Fed's hawkish tilt on the 16th of June only caused some wobbles in the EM asset class, likely given by the favorable growth environment provided by high commodity prices and a strong rebound in global trade. But beyond the Fed's hawkish bias on the financial side, we believe that the concerns about the spread of the Delta variant are more central to emerging markets and broader growth prospects. Indeed, the variant has health authorities across Europe and in some EMs apprehensive and considering a reintroduction of certain mobility restrictions which they had hoped would lie behind them. In the US, however, the Delta variant is so far encouragingly less prevalent by comparison, and in combination with the high vaccination rates and with vaccines of the highest efficacy, the threat to economic activity is lower in the US than elsewhere. And there's also the potential for a stronger US dollar from a comparatively less restricted US would appear to be the more imminent threat to capital accounts on the emerging market side. And the impact is perhaps cushioned to the extent by the fact that this time, the stronger US dollar is not accompanied by higher US yields. However, both the lower yields and the stronger US dollar are driven by risk-off sentiment amongst investors, which is seldom a positive for emerging market capital flows. And a stronger US dollar would possibly also have an impact on EM current accounts, as the US dollar often has an inverse relationship with commodity prices and global trade volume growth. So all in all, Ona, much more going on this time around, and I think markets will be quite busy over the summer.
And Essan, how much of the China slowdown and the hawkish Fed is set to drive weakness across emerging markets?
So, no, the hope is not much, but the reality, I think, tells us slightly differently. So one approach for examining the external environment for emerging markets is to model China as the determinant for EM's current account and the US as the determinant for EM's capital account. So China is the largest market for EM exports. And in some cases, this is owing to the considerations such as geography in places like, of course, Asia. In other cases, this is due to the very nature of China's demand, which is commodity intensive, benefiting many emerging markets such as LATAM and parts of EMEA, such as the GCC region, Russia and South Africa. Meanwhile, for capital flows, it is still the Fed's stance and the US dollar strength or weakness that pushes capital into or draws capital from emerging markets. And in this framework, the most favorable combination for emerging markets is one of strong Chinese demand growth and an accommodative Fed. Now, this has been the environment for much of the first half of 2021. However, the tide, of course, is turning and the external environment is pivoting to a much less favorable combination of a deceleration in Chinese growth and tighter financial conditions in the US. Now, the recent Chinese Reserve Requirement Ratio, that's the RRR, cut is a very welcome step, but emerging markets will only have to revive loan growth moderately, according to our China analysts, which is still going to be seen as a one-off step to address policy tightness instead of a start of a new loosening cycle. And with the Chinese authorities remained focused on limiting the growth rate of credit to the state-owned enterprises sector, as well as the real estate and infrastructure sectors, this challenge is that these sectors are usually more relevant for EM prospects. Indeed, according to our China analyst, she believes that headwinds remain on the horizon, but there are real foundations that the overall momentum has peaked and that growth will converge down from potential. However, the composition of Chinese growth in the coming months is expected to be less driven by exports and real estate investment and more by domestic consumption, which is less trade intensive and less reliant on goods from other emerging market economies. And so putting the growth developments into context, the EM outlook appears to be turning less favorable. We may be beyond peak optimism surrounding growth prospects across the EM complex. And we do acknowledge that the EM upside will likely be more normalized rather than our initial thesis at the beginning of the year, which was centered on EM outperformance relative to developed markets. However, our conviction remains that the current bout of uncertainty will act as only a speed bump to the intensity of the reopenings across economies and delay rather than derail the reopenings across lots of emerging markets as we head through towards a choppy summer period.
And finally, Ehsan, where do we stand on inflation? Are we set for lower or higher levels across emerging markets in the second half of this year?
So on inflation, it would transpire as a positive development that we may be approaching peak EM inflation concerns as commodity prices begin, in our view, to stabilize and core inflation starts to roll off as supply side constraints ease. Now, to date, inflation in the US has surprised materially to the upside. And also, inflation is surprising the upside in many emerging markets, even in some of the more structurally lower inflation countries such as Israel. Now, the combination of a reduction in optimism surrounding growth and increasing concerns around developed market inflation is typically seen as a negative for emerging markets, given it normally results in an adverse mix of a slowdown in external demand and higher developed markets, and notably US bond yields. However, the current environment is suggesting a different development. That is, developed market yields have not increased on the back of the recent higher inflation prints. In many places, yields, in fact, have fallen. Now, there are two explanations for this. First, markets expect supply-side factors that push up prices to be resolved in months ahead. Indeed, the phasing out the cost economies of the different support schemes for unemployed and furloughed absent workers, for example, could relieve labor market tightness. And second, upside inflation surprises have provoked a moderately hawkish tilt in central banks' communication, which has reassured markets that there won't be higher inflation risks over the medium term. And as such, markets envisage the strength of the recovery as transitory, and central banks won't get essentially policy rates to levels that could justify high yields. So on the whole, Ona, we therefore view that concerns around a protracted period of high inflation may be close to peak levels, with some moderation likely in the second half of this year.
Thanks very much for sharing your insight, Ehsan. Have a good summer break, and we'll speak to you in the middle of August.
Thanks, Ona. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.